So that is exactly what Tim said. He said that ruined that devotion. And I said, no, it did. It did. The toothpaste wasn't out. It was the Holy Spirit filling you.
It was redirected.
With yes, you need, Jesus is the printed adapter. And that's the Holy Spirit. Okay. I got it. The Holy Spirit is the toothpaste adapter that lets God's love and his wisdom and all of that come into your sad little empty tube of a self.
Or that you have so much joy and you've been filled so much with the Holy Spirit that it can transfer into somebody else.
That's a good one too, Joan. We are good camp counselors. You guys, you don't think we weren't good? We're good. Okay.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Welcome, everybody, to Designer Cornbread Podcast, episode 197?
Nope.
98?
Yep.
98.
198. We are two away from 200. Can you believe it? You know, I heard a thing just the other day, and I don't even know how this is possible. It was a podcast episode, as I listened to millions of those, and it was kind of focusing on podcasting. That's not really why I listen to it. It's just one I occasionally listen to, and they had some guests on and they were talking about it. Now I'm not going to get the right. Here, I'm going to tell you something. I don't even have the right information. But it was like the percentage of podcasts that make more than like 3 or 5 episodes is like,
yeah,
really small.
Yes.
And then the percentage that make over 10 or something, it's like less than 80%. Like,
they probably like work a lot on their content and then go, screw this, instead of, you know.
Oh, unlike us, we just come out here and wing it. And so it really doesn't take that much prep.
Hey,
that could be it. You could be onto something.
Just saying.
No, but it was some staggering, the second stat. Yeah, and I'd heard that before, but it was like 5%. Make past the first 10 episodes or something. It's very small. So I don't know why we're not like number one. Like, what else? I mean, we've obviously done more than the average, than most people. So you guys need to be sharing. I feel like our little, our loyal listeners, you forget, you need to share us with, again, either people you really like or people you don't like. Just depends.
Yeah.
How you feel about it. Anyway, I don't know how I got on that. What is going on, Watermelon? How was your weekend?
My weekend was pretty chill. I mean,
that's nice.
You know, so as you know, we got up Saturday and we had a Zoom call between our little core group there.
We had a little coffee chat on the Zoom, y'all.
They had coffee and I had iced coffee because I live in the South and I was sitting out on my back patio.
Listen, it's never too hot for coffee. Yeah, it was like 10 in the morning. I was on my second cup.
It was pretty warm for coffee.
I bet it was.
So anyway, I did have an iced protein coffee.
Nice.
That I'm thrilled with. So
what kind do you use? What kind of?
Overnight oats.
Oh, protein. They're protein coffee?
They have a protein coffee.
Okay. I'm probably snatching that from your next week's top three, but I'm snatching it because I want to hear. Because I get I've gotten their oats. Now I've been bad and I, not bad. I shouldn't say that. I have some of their overnight oats, that the oatmeal, whatever. And I haven't made them for a while and they're sitting in my pantry. And I just thought I need to get back to making those. But I didn't know they had a protein coffee.
They have a protein coffee. It's a little powder.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. But I just like in the afternoons, and it's so hot here, I just like an iced coffee.
Yeah. So, that's perfect.
I've got all kinds of different flavors. I'm drinking a toasted coconut iced coffee right now.
Oh.
And so I mix it up. You just mix it with like 8 ounces of water and put some ice in it. And if you want to add a cream, I added coconut milk to mine.
Okay. I may have to try that.
But it has like 10 grams of protein in it.
How many?
10.
10. That's something. You know what? For an afternoon beverage.
That you're not normally going to get with your, yeah.
Yeah. For an afternoon beverage, that is, that's pretty good. I have tried a kind called, I don't think I put this on a top three ever, but I've kind of stopped. What's it called? Java? J-A-V-A. Mm-hmm. I've got some powder downstairs of some kind of protein coffee, same kind of thing. And it was good. I had one flavor. It was called like butter coffee. I don't know. It was good. Yeah. I don't know why I stopped. I think sometimes it's too sweet.
Yeah. This is not sweet.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
So can I take back one of my top threes?
Sure. You absolutely can, but oh no.
Well, I have been buying coffee and I buy a lot of coffee. Y'all, this is not like I'm a one or two timer. Buy a lot of coffee from this company called Java Mama. Mm-hmm. And I do like their coffee. I've been impressed with their coffee, and it's been my go-to for a very long time. But when you all were coming for the 4th of July, I had ordered a bunch of coffee, and I kept looking at my tracking, and it was stuck in Jackson, Mississippi. It went from Memphis. Now, Memphis is just
two hours.
It's just hope. Well, yeah. Hope that it never goes to Memphis.
Oh, okay. I see.
But it went from Memphis. It was probably supposed to go to Jackson, Tennessee.
Oh.
Instead, it went to Jackson, Mississippi. Oh. And it just sat there for days. So I emailed the company and did not ask for a refund. I did not ask for another shipment. I did not ask for any product or money whatsoever. What I asked was, is there anything that they could do to move this package along?
Okay.
Yeah.
You just wanted to know, can you help?
Contact UPS. I can't remember if it was UPS or FedEx or who it was through, but, because it was just sitting there. And, they've got all the tracking. They've got all that kind of stuff, too.
Yeah, you would think.
Well, I get an email back from them that tells me, you need to contact your postmaster. I guess it was through the post office. Okay. So because I needed to contact my postmaster and have them do this. And I need to do this. And I need to do
that. Once they ship it.
And then they said, once it leaves our facility, it is no longer our responsibility. To which I said, I will never buy coffee from them again. I've never had a company tell me that. Once it left them, it's not their responsibility. It's their responsibility until it gets to me.
Well, so, for sure. And again, like at the very least, they should say, oh, we're so sorry that happened. We're going to get another box out to you. Because it happens. It happens.
And I would assume that they have insured their product of some. As much as I bought. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But anyway, I've never had a company tell me, not our problem.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm out. So now I'm looking for coffee companies. If anybody has any good recommendations. But I'm not.
And you're looking mostly for the pods. You're replacing the Keurig pods is what you ordered, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So good. Any good Keurig pod now, flavors.
I also bought French press coffee from them.
Okay.
I also bought, regular ground from them.
Okay.
I make Ron a pot. I just use the Keurigs when we get up in the morning quick because I need a, quick hit.
Hey, listen, the Keurig coffee's good. I don't care what people say. I like me some good coffee.
Have an addiction or anything, but I need a quick hit when I wake up. Anyway, and then I make Ron a pot because he's going to drink it all day long. Mm-hmm. And then I do French press when I have time to do my French press.
Exactly. So yeah, you are quite the coffee lover. So like you've got to find something good to replace if they don't want your business any longer. I'm surprised. I'm not. I knew they were going to say that. I knew they were going to say, as soon as it leaves us, we have no control over shipping. And I'm like, yet you're a company that like relies on
shipping. I've never shipped
online orders, right?
Ever have I had a company tell me it's a problem.
Yeah. But at the same time, again, it does, like I said, the easy fix to that, if you're in customer service, again, is just, oh, really sorry that happened. Let us send you a free and box coupon or something.
Again, I was a very good customer.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
She was a good customer, you guys.
Not a fly by night, you know, I've ordered from you one time and, mm-hmm. you know, or somebody, you know, and there are people who'd love to take advantage, but I mean, they could look at their tracking too and see that it was not. I just thought maybe they'd have more pull than I did.
Nope. Yeah,
but
that's below their pay grade.
It was the rudest customer service email I think I've ever received. So
wow. Well, someone out there then, y'all that are listening, yeah, give her, if you all, there's lots of smaller companies now doing this stuff with all the unique flavors and different things. So I don't know anything off the top of my head, so I'll have to kind of think about that. But mostly people, if y'all out there order stuff like that, give us a little shout out. We can pass that on. So, well, I'm sorry that was your experience. That is no fun.
I'm just taking it back now.
Okay. She's removed. They've been demoted.
That's right.
You can be demoted. Listen, people, we don't play. We had a lovely Sunday. We went to celebrate my dad's 87th birthday at the London Tea Room here in St. Louis that I may have mentioned before. I don't know.
Yeah.
Have I mentioned? They kind of have a new location finally. Their old location was terrible. And their old location was good, but their most recent location was not good. But now they've moved to a very nice location right off of Forest Park in a beautiful old... it's actually an apartment building, a functioning apartment building there, kind of in the Midtown near the Central West End and all that. And it's a beautiful place. So we thought we better go have tea. So we had afternoon tea with Tim, myself, and my dad. And he, of course, had his plaid summer blazer on and his knit tie and his white linen pants and his brown, you know, of
yes.
course, if you all know my dad.
Yes.
He looked the part. I had a dress on. I did my part, but he looked the perfection of a summer gentleman having afternoon tea. So it was pretty good. We had all the layers and goodies, and that was just a fun. We hadn't done that yet. I'd gone there and had a few things on my own, but I hadn't done the afternoon tea. So that was quite delightful. So I must say I recommend it to anyone.
Well, I got in the pool after our little Zoom meeting,
mm-hmm.
and I flipped my floats over because there are little spiders and
yes.
things that get. So I flipped my float over, and on the bottom of my float was, in fact, a spider. And I started to go and, you know, flick it off. And then I realized it's a black widow.
Oh, no. Joni.
There was a black widow, and she had made that
little
nest there.
A little egg sack.
Not, you've ever seen there. No egg sack.
Oh, no.
But
okay.
It was just that web. I don't know if y'all are familiar with Black Widow webs, but they are some. That's what Spider-Man's web is made
okay,
out of.
Okay, like super
Black
sticky.
Widow, yes, super
okay.
strong and all that. Anyway, thankfully Ron was still out there. And I said, hey, I got a problem. And he said, well, I said, it's a Black Widow. Anyway, I made him.
I would have been smashing the heck out of that float. It would not have, the float would have been decimated.
He took care of the Black Widow. So.
Goodness, that's awful. Yeah, you really got to really check.
I know. What if I'd just gotten up on that
thing?
Oh
my gosh, Joni, I don't want to think about it. Oh, that's horrible. No more mice in the skimmer? Are we good with our mice?
No, that was just evidently a beginning of the year thing.
That was just that one mouse. He went right in the head and he kept coming back.
I'm back in twice.
Twice. I'm like, dummy, stop.
Anyway, yeah, he was gone. So yeah, no mice in the pool. No, it's just the, you know, only
just
critter.
Black widow, just black widow spider.
Okay. You know, nothing but just a little black widow.
I don't like that at all. I do not like
well,
that.
Well, here's scary, because I swim at night. I get in at night and I get my little noodle because I don't want to get my hair wet when I'm going to school. Mm-hmm. So I just go over and I grab the noodle, which lays over there by the float. And I told Ron, I said, Ron, all the nights that I get in, and I'm not, I mean, it's dark, so I'm not checking stuff.
You may have to bring a noodle inside and sit it in your little mud room to take out, because you don't want to chance that, because it's got a hole. It could be up in there hiding.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. That's very concerning. Okay. I'm glad you found it. Tim's latest 3D print.
Oh, here we go.
We have a 3D print update. His latest gadget. He came in to show me. He was very, very proud. This was actually before our trip to Chattanooga. And he came in and he said, looky here. And I'm like, what is that? And he had this little tiny plastic thing. And he said, look what I made. He gets so proud. It's very cute. Look what I made. And I said, what is that? And he said, he went and got a tube of toothpaste and unscrewed the lid. And he screwed one end of this thing on there. And then on the other end, he screwed on a travel toothpaste size. And he squirted and filled up the travel toothpaste size with the big toothpaste.
That. Well, that blows that whole little devotion out of the water, though.
That is exactly what he said. I swear he said that. He said, well, so much for that devotion about you can't get the toothpaste back in the tube. I said, well, it's not quite the same. I said, it's not the same because the toothpaste isn't, it's going into another tube. So I likened it to the Holy Spirit being filled with the bigger tube is, wait.
If you don't know what we are talking about, there is a
if you didn't grow up in the 90s or 80s or 90s, you may not know. Go ahead.
Classic about, you know, holding your tongue and saying, and once you squirt toothpaste out, there's no getting it back in the
tube. You take a tube. If you're a child, this is what you're supposed to do as either a parent or a camp counselor, and you're maybe having trouble with people's words that are hurting people. And you take a tube of toothpaste and you have them squirt it all out on a plate. Get it all out.
Did you start to say poop paste?
No, toothpaste. Did you hear poop?
I started to say poop paste.
No, sorry. I certainly didn't mean to say that. I don't know what that is. No, and you'd have them squirt it all out. And then you'd say, now put it back, try to put it back in the tube. And the kid sits there and makes a mess and shoves it in and can't. And it's a disaster. And that's the visual lesson of once our words leave our mouths, you know, even if we say we're sorry, you can't like take those words back. So that is exactly what Tim said. He said that ruined that devotion. And I said, no, it did. It did. The toothpaste wasn't out. It was the Holy Spirit filling you.
It was redirected.
With yes, you need, Jesus is the printed adapter and that's the Holy Spirit. Okay. I got it. The Holy Spirit is the toothpaste adapter that lets God's love and his wisdom and all of that come into your sad little empty tube of a self.
Or that you have so much joy and you've been filled so much with the Holy Spirit that it can transfer into somebody else.
That's a good one too, Joan. We are good camp counselors. You guys, you don't think we weren't good? We're good. Okay.
We just needed 3D. We needed a 3D printer.
We just needed a 3D printer to help give us that analogy.
Yes.
Well, anyway, that's the latest print. And I thought I was actually, I'm not going to lie. I was like, because those little travel toothpaste, now, I mean, again, it's only if you're like flying, but I mean, those are expensive. Who wants to go buy those anymore?
A dentist gives them to me.
I know, same. But like you run out, but instead, or you know, what's even, I probably wouldn't fill the whole thing up. But like if you're about to go on a trip and it's like partly, and you're just like, man, I don't think that's quite enough. I have that happen a lot. And then you end up taking two. I'm like, no, you could just pump that baby right up.
Yeah. Tim, you're so smart.
I know. I don't know how he came up with that or why he came up with that.
Smart.
Guys,
near.
I am living the dream. Yeah.
Speaking of poop paste.
Ooh, were we?
I got a message from my middle son today. Caleb's living in Chattanooga, and he looks out the window at work, and there's a homeless man hiding behind Caleb's truck, relieving himself.
Oh, boy.
And I'm not talking about number one. I am talking about number two.
Oh, bless. Oh, boy.
And so my child, being Caleb, takes a picture and sends to me. And I said, I don't see any toilet paper hanging around there. And goes, it's probably my truck was probably.
Oh.
Anyway, Caleb is pretty put out today. Right in the Croy Engineering.
Right in the Croy Engineering parking lot. You guys, look out. Yeah. Look out. Be on alert. Because, if he was really nice, Caleb would get one of those camping potties. Have you seen those that attach to the hitch of your truck?
Oh, he should put that out there.
And it's a seat and a bag, and he could put a little roll there. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he was a good Christian, that's what he would do.
That is, yeah.
He sent me a picture. Speaking of your son, did he send you the picture of his Hobby Lobby cart?
He did.
It was so precious. I get a picture from Caleb of his. He's at, first of all, he was at the Hobby Lobby. So
he's buying all the fall stuff.
He's got a whole cart full of fall, and his doormat is perfection. In fact, you need it. I should get it and send it to you.
Harley Brown. Well, Caleb wants me to come to Chattanooga.
You should get it
in September.
You have to have that doormat.
Okay.
Explain it to the people what it was.
It's Charlie Brown, and it's the leaves and the whole, let me find it, the picture.
It's so cute, you guys. And I'm not even a cute person, but it just made me happy to see it. It's so Caleb.
It is. We do love some Charlie Brown here. I don't know which one he sent this in. We only have like 15. Okay.
I know. It's too hard to keep track of how we message each other.
It's Charlie Brown, and he's falling backwards.
Well, he's kicked Snoopy into the leaves.
Oh, into the leaves.
Yeah, the leaves are all on the bottom. Yeah. So it's got all the fall leaves, and it's got Charlie Brown and Snoopy in the leaves. You guys.
It's really cute.
It's really cute. And I think I saw some like black lanterns in there. I think he's going to put like lanterns.
Got pillows and lanterns.
I know.
And I'm going to take him some. I've got some of the glass pumpkins from Silver Dollar City, the hand-blown glass pumpkins.
That'll be cute.
I'm going to take him one of mine.
Oh. Well, it's just so precious.
I did send him the Nest pumpkin chai reed diffusers.
Nice.
So his house
will. Okay. Well, when we were moving him in, when he was getting his stuff back in May, that was one thing he was very excited about was the fall pumpkins. He's like, I can put pumpkins over here and I could decorate. And this is a good spot for a fall pumpkin. I was like, yes, it is. So he's ready.
He and his mother love fall.
That's exactly right.
He's also starting a Bible study at his house with the adults from church. Mm-hmm. So he's getting ready for all of that.
Oh my gosh. I love that so much. The last I heard, I'm sure they'll meet inside, but I heard they could do like out in the garage. They were planning some kind of garage once they get that all fixed up. Like, you know, when the weather's cooler, they could like sit out there and stuff. So I was like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. I love that. What are they studying? Do you know? Did he say?
I think he is starting with James. He was
perfect
between James and doing the first, second, third John. So
nice.
He's going to start with
James. Oh, that's awesome. I love that so much. That makes me very, very happy. So I have something to share that made me laugh so hard, Joni. And I don't know why. I don't know why it tickled me so bad, but it did. So I went over. I don't know why this is so funny to me, you guys. I went whatever it was. Now you're distracting me. Hold on. You distracted me. She's sending me messages while we're talking, you guys. I can't handle that much interaction. Okay. So I went last week to visit my sweet mother-in-law. And while I was over there in her little apartment in the memory care, there was a booklet on her table from the place she lives. So like a manual, kind of like you know, living here, like with the rule, I don't know, not like rules, you know what I mean? Like policies, procedures, kind of just the general legal gobbledygook that they give you. And it was in this booklet. And so I picked it up and I was just visiting with her and I was looking through it. And I was going to actually, anyway, it doesn't matter. Nobody cares. I was going to take it home because she doesn't really need, but then I saw in the back, the nurse was writing down some temperatures and stuff. So I was like, okay, I'll leave it. But I was flipping through this book, Joni. And I happened to flip open to a section in the policies and procedures booklet in a memory care unit of a facility. And it's all on what to do in the case of a nuclear explosion.
Oh, my gosh.
Jody.
Oh, my gosh.
Jody. I said, Susan, I said, well, looky here. I said, there's a whole section on what to do in a nuclear explosion. And I got so tickled. And she's like, oh, what? You know, and I'm like, and let me just give you a couple highlights for the memory care unit. Nuclear, I mean, it's the top of the page. Nuclear explosion. Here's what you got to do. I took a picture because I'm like, I can't. So it said, remember the three protective factors, distance, shielding, and time. Radioactive fallout can be carried by the wind for hundreds of miles. Radiation levels are extremely dangerous after a nuclear detonation, but the levels reduce rapidly. During the period with the highest radiation levels, it is safest to stay inside. That's point number one.
Okay.
Point number one is don't be outside. Take cover as quickly as you can, below ground if possible, and stay there until instructed to do otherwise. Go as far below ground as possible or in the center of a tall building. Multi-story. Again, I understand, but you're giving this to people that are in a memory care unit. If your aides don't take them to wherever it is they're supposed to go, they ain't going to go.
I feel like Susan would be with me on this one. Mm-hmm. I think I would just open the window and say, mm-hmm. Let's go home.
I did. I told her, I said, I started reading through it. I'm like, I don't know. I think at this point I would just, you know, home. Be like, okay, we're good. But it was so funny. And I know they got to show that they have a plan, but I'm like, but it's like, it's probably the plan for the whole facility. So it's probably the same thing they give to the independent care, independent living, excuse me. So they, you know, they're in taller buildings and, you know, I understand that. It just cracked me up so bad. And then here, let's see. If you are caught outside and unable to get inside immediately, do not look at the flash or fireball. It can blind you.
Because you're going to have time to think all that through.
They're telling you here not to look at it, Joni.
Okay.
They told you in the legal document to not look at the flash or the fireball because it can blind you. Take cover behind anything that might offer protection. This will sound familiar.
Let's go home. Okay.
Yeah. It's fine. And then this one sounds familiar because this is what we did for everything back in the 80s. Basically, only it was under a desk. But lie flat on the ground and cover your head. If the explosion is some distance away, it could take 30 seconds or more for the blast wave to hit. And then it goes through all the get clean as soon as possible, remove the radioactive, put your clothes in bags, take a shower, but don't use conditioner because that will bind the radioactive. I'm like, they're in memory care. They ain't going to do none of this.
Is the water going to be safe?
If it's underground, I think, I think the first water would be, but then that's the whole question. Again, I don't know. I am not a nuclear physicist, but I'm just saying the fact that it's in that book gave me such hysterics. Anyway, I know it probably shouldn't have, but it did. So they're covered. They know what to do in the case of a nuclear explosion. Don't look at the flash or the blade or whatever, because it could blind you.
Well, listen, so we have, you know, we have all the drills at school that we do. And the first one we do is the fire drill. And I go out to where we're supposed to go out. And it occurred to me a couple of years ago to where I'm putting my kids, where I'm supposed to put my kids. It's right next to all the gas lines.
Oh, God.
Like, Maybe this is not a good idea.
Hey, everybody, gather over here.
Right here. And I tell them now, I'm like, okay, guys, this is where we are supposed to go. In the event of
if there's a real fire,
we are going back.
Move to the road. Right. Like, go to the road.
Yes.
You guys, I know. It brought me back to the days of all the drills of, you know, tornado in the hallway. I mean, then that's fine. You're right. If you're in a school full of people, you
know
want
why you go to the hallway?
Because the windows are not in the hallway.
It's also so it's easier to find bodies.
Listen, Joni, that's actually not why. But you can. It's because all the windows are outside at a school. The hall is the interior.
You've got the front doors.
Yes.
You've got the back doors and the hallway. You've got a big old wind tunnel right there.
No, it's because all the classrooms have the windows, dum-dum. So we went and we had a cement building like back in the day. Uh-huh. And then we'd get under our desks for something. What'd we get under our desks for?
Was that
the nuclear blast?
Yeah, that and earthquake drills.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. I think that was the nuclear we got under our desks.
The nuclear. And because that affects us so much.
They didn't tell us not to look at the blast, though. I didn't know.
No.
I might have looked right at that mushroom cloud. Okay, I can't. Just can't.
Anyway.
Okay. That was my funny thing.
Welcome to drill information, everyone.
Listen, the people need to know. Everyone needs to know. And if you're in a memory care unit and you don't know, I hope the people there... I don't know where they take. There's nowhere to take them. There's no base. There's no. I'm like, again, go with God.
Yeah.
So,
go home.
Go with God. Oh my goodness, that was my main thing. I will say too. I hate to admit this, but yet, I kind of don't. But there's nothing I can do about it. So then it makes me even madder. I'm getting kind of crotchety.
What?
How dare you? I feel like I'm turning into, you know, the parody of the crotchety old person. Crotchety. That's not what I meant. Crotchety is what I meant.
Crotchety.
I meant crotchety. Excuse
Whatever.
Me. Crotchety. Old person, you know, who just sits around, shut up, complaining about, oh, back in our day. And why is it, you know, I do feel a little bit of that with this and with other things. But I was driving around the other day, and again, there's nothing I can do about this, I don't think. But I tell you what, I'm tired of these developers, every developer for houses and subdivisions. And of course, I'm in a, you know, city, and we have lots of suburbs, lots of this. And they just come in, and they... clean out every tree. They tear down everything. And I know why they do this. You all don't have to explain. I understand, as with most things, it's money. That's all it ever is it's money, because it's cheaper to build starting from scratch your little plan than to have to design around and get equipment in around a tree and deal with that. So I understand why. But
just don't like it.
I'm tired of it. I'll pass by. There's a beautiful area I was in that I hadn't been in a while anyway. And it's just everywhere. It's just, you know, when a new subdivision is going in or a new street, because they just have culled out every living goddamn tree in there. And it's just this bare wasteland, you know, and then they're going to build these houses that all look exactly the same.
Yes.
The houses all look the same. The streets all look the same. There's no trees. Then they can maybe plant these little trees, and we've got these little yard. And I'm just like, I'm tired of it, people. I have turned the corner, and I know I can't do anything about it, because whatever, it is what it is. But it's like, we don't have neighborhoods. I know it's a neighborhood. I understand. But it just looks the same. You know why we call it cookie cutters, guys? You know why we call it that? Because it looks like a cookie cutter just came in and cha-chung, 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 made all those houses.
I've been sending you these, you know, the reels of stuff of, when did we stop making things beautiful?
Yeah, I've been posting those.
Yeah, and it takes past pictures.
Yep.
and puts them beside the modern picture, and it's awful.
We have just lost the thread, yeah. A little bit. Now, again, I'm not saying, because I look at those too, in which somehow there's a lot of, you know, just this idea of what beauty does for us mentally, physically, spiritually, community. You know, there is something about when things are done with beauty, and beauty can be subjective and it can be object. Like there's some, we all understand that. We don't all like the exact same thing. but there's some, I don't know what to call them, but kind of some qualities of things that we can relate to as human beings that feel good to us. And I'm not saying, because sometimes I see those posts and I see like, they always tend to show like something really beautiful and ornate and wood and stone, which of course, you know, fantastic. And then they'll show something like really sleek and bare and modern. Now, I'm not of the opinion that everything that's modern and sleek and streamlined is ugly. Like, I think there's a place for that. Yes. That can be very beautiful in a way. I'm not against that. I don't want to go to that extreme of like, you know, that everything that's that modern and clean lined and beautiful, you know, like that is not beautiful. I think there's different kinds of beauty in the right time and the right place. But I'll give you an example. This is just a little tiny example near me, right around the corner from me, is a library, our little branch of our little library, the Oak Bend branch here in St. Louis, built probably in the 50s or 60s, brick, one level, just a nice brick, not a, you know, fancy looking building, mid-century. We're talking a mid-century kind of style, probably from the 60s. Big windows, you know, kind of, anyway, very, very small, wasn't very big. And we went there for years as the kids, you know, we'd go to the library and do our library things, and you would walk in and it looked and felt and smelled like a library. Now, this wasn't, again, this wasn't an old fancy, you know, whatever. This was built at that time, but still, all the shelves were this pretty wood, you know, with metal things on them to, you know, to exchange, but everything had a pretty wood. There was a carpet, you know, the window, the inside is brick. On some of the walls, the exterior walls, again, it's like a postmodern, it's a mid-century kind of building. So you had exposed brick, big, high, one big room, a couple of littler rooms, but just a couple. Big windows, the big, beautiful, you know, windows, the light and the kids section and all this kind of stuff. They redid it a few years back, several years back now, thankfully after my kids were gone. The outside is the same, but you walk into that place now, Joni, it's white and gray. There's no wood. It looks sterile. They've chopped up into these different rooms. The brick is gone. The windows are gone. It looks like a hospital.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's just an example of they spent a lot of money to redo this whole building. I'm not saying, again, I'm not anti, like, things need to be updated or fixed or made to function a little better. Like, things have changed, you know?
It's no longer cozy. Things are
It wasn't cozy. I wouldn't want to go in there and read a book with my kid.
And the craftsmanship is gone. I mean, there's no...
It wasn't warm. Yeah. When you think of a library, and again, the one, you know, how it was before, it wasn't fancy. It's not about fancy. It's about, I could go on a tangent on this for days. The interior matched the exterior. Yeah. It's a mid-century building, and it had a cool, you know, very, very modern-ish, you know, mid-century interior.
Right.
That looked good with it and was warm and welcoming, and, you know, it didn't look like the sterile operating room.
Yeah.
And it just broke my heart. And they blocked off, like I said, all the windows. They kind of put these little meeting rooms in, and the windows are gone, and the brick is gone. And I'm like, this is awful. I have to go in there to vote. That's where I go to vote. So I go in there, and I'm always just, like, disgusted because I'm like,
They took my life.
Well, they did. And that's a small thing. That's a small thing. But again, when what bothers me is when, when we take the time and energy and we spend the money to quote unquote update things or improve. And again, I'm not against the updating. I'm not against like, do we need more computer areas? Do we need more, you know, whatever to kind of update things and make them useful, work better. Yeah. But this, I'm like, this just took away all the warmth and character and charm.
Yeah.
So it makes me mad. And then we have houses that just do the same, you know, our neighborhoods look the same. Our subdivisions look the same. Not in the city. That's why we always go to the older places because I remember kids would come. My friends would come to my house growing up in high school. And they all lived, except for one or two didn't. A couple didn't. But many of them lived out in West County of St. Louis, if you know what that is. I lived in U City. So this is more towards the city area. So older, you know, just older homes. And they would come over and it was so funny to me because my street was very wide. I had a beautiful street and all the houses are all different. You know, it just looked like to me a regular neighborhood. I mean, it just, every house was different. And I remember they would always be like, wow, your subdivision is so nice. And first of all, them calling it a subdivision made me laugh because I'm like, it's just a street. I don't really know. We don't have a pool. There's a little park I like to go to and sit in a tree. But you know, it just was so funny how they were like, wow, this is so, and I'm like, it's because this is just a neighborhood. It's just a street.
Yeah.
And we're really have lost that. And it makes me very sad. So, yeah. But there's nothing I can do about it. So
I agree with you.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that even can go much, much, much further because you can really talk about like planning, like community planning. And of course we're not pedestrian anymore. You know, we're not. I get, you know, we drive and we do things, but a lot of these communities, it's just like you're out there in the middle of nowhere and there's nothing around. Like there's nothing, you know, there's a strip mall next to you and you can go do that, but there's no like, you know, other things. I don't know. It's just you have to get in your car and you have to go and do. And I understand that's just part of where we are. So I get that. But
bring back the craftsmanship.
Yeah, bring back beauty because you know what? It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's not, you don't have to be specific about, why do this is another good example. And it's not, again, I understand it's not practical to some degree. Why do you think so many kids, this might not be the best example. You guys are going to give me feedback, you know, because I understand there's a lot more to these stories. Like it'd be fun to like do magic and ride magical creatures and like do stuff. Okay. But I'm thinking like the Harry Potter. Or any movie like that. The school in Harry, like the Hogwarts, okay. It is modeled after what the actual schools in England are kind of like. Again, but the beauty, you go to Eton, you go to these different schools, even the public, you know, the wood and the railings and the big hall with the food and the, you know, it's just this amazing environment. Those actually exist. That's based on actual schools.
Right.
Like real places. I know the rest of it's not.
It's ours look like.
Institution. They look like prisons.
They look like prisons.
Ours look like prisons. You guys, show me I'm wrong. Our schools look like prisons.
Yeah. And when, you know, and frankly, kids will perform to your expectations.
That's exactly right.
And so when you put them in these nothing facilities,
mm-hmm.
these prison facilities, that's kind of what they're going to perform at.
Designed just to kind of, you know, move people through with a system. And it's a way of thinking. And I understand, again, I understand it's about money and it's also about, you know, the different philosophies of education and things that have happened. The same things happened with our churches. We could get going on that too, but we won't. But the same things happened. We've just decided that there's something, there's a deficiency that we have when it comes to designing for meaning and beauty. Sometimes I think we tend to, and I think probably some of that came about through the Protestant Reformation, I'll be real honest. because the iconography and the grandeur of the Catholic Church were seen, and you know, there was a lot of statues and idolatry, whatever, excuse me if you're Catholic, but that was the Reformation was against that. So I think some of that's come, you know, filtered down a little bit, and or just this idea like it's fancy and you're better than people and you're being like snobby and better than people. And it's like, no.
A lot of it. I mean, it's just money too.
It's money. Well, it's money. It is money, but it's also intention.
We are looking at redesigning our church because we're bursting at the seams.
Mm-hmm.
The amount that people are, I mean, the quotes that we're getting.
Oh, yeah.
Astronomical. Mm-hmm. And it's not anything fancy. It's yep. not anything. I mean, we are, it's pitiful. Mm-hmm. It's just so, and like schools, I mean, I understand why they can't do all of the woodwork, but I don't know. I don't
but you know what? They could have when they were built. They could have.
And they were built.
They were built when they built them. I bet you they could have. Now, I know, I understand. Again, we're talking about, you know, I don't know, easier to clean, sand. I don't know. I'm sure there's things. It can be kind of complex, but you can't tell me that if you're in an environment, like you said, that looks a certain way. I mean, we all know it. Why do we go to certain cozy coffee shops?
Right.
But why do we go there?
Look, and I also sit here and go, and yet mm-hmm. I know these kids, and there would be kids, and you'd have all that woodwork, and they would immediately start carving their name into stuff, mm-hmm. carving their initial, carving in, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's true. I think it is a bigger thing, but I wonder, you know, if we hadn't lost some of that yeah. along the way, if it would be as bad as it is in terms of that. Like, I think if we were used to that, we would be.
If you walked in my high school right now, you would be shocked just because the number of kids that do the bare minimum to dress to get to school. I mean, they're big men in pajamas.
Yep.
And house shoes.
Yep.
Stuff that we would not have been caught dead. The only time I would have possibly worn my pajamas was during a homecoming week if we had pajama day.
Nor would we have been allowed to.
No.
Not even by your school.
No.
Not even by the same school that you teach at now would not have allowed that.
Oh, my parents wouldn't have allowed.
No, your parents wouldn't have, but your school wouldn't have either.
Right.
Your teachers and your administrators would have been like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Go home.
Go home and put on some real clothes.
Right. So, I mean, that's a whole nother level. Again, you talked about expectations and how we, you know.
It is. They perform up to your expectations.
They do.
100% of the time.
For at least close. Yeah. At least close enough. You know, so I don't know. I'm crotchety. So
We're old. Are you ready for my recipe now?
I'm really ready for it. And I'm ready for you to come here and cook it for me.
Okay. Well, when I say September, what food comes to your mind the most?
Apples.
Apples. That's me. And brunches. I don't know why breakfast comes to mind like in the fall. I don't know what that is. But I'm not a big breakfast eater. But apples are the big thing. Apple cider. Apple. You know, all of that. So this is an apple sausage breakfast bake.
Oh my gosh.
So you ready? So you need a 20-ounce bag of the frozen hash browns that are thawed. You can either do those shredded ones or the southern hash browns would be okay. I think the shredded ones are going to be better.
I like the shreddy ones. I feel like they get, yeah. I like those.
Well, for this, because you're kind of going to make a crust out of the.
Oh, get the shreddy ones then. Yeah.
So, 20-ounce bag of frozen hash browns, go ahead and thaw them, and 3 tablespoons of olive oil. You're going to divide that into different things, and your salt, you just want to taste. You're going to use it in a few things, but you're going to just do it to taste with that. Then you need a 16-ounce of the, you know, just breakfast sausage roll, a cup of coarsely chopped apples, which is going to be about one apple. 2 to 4 large eggs. And I put that there because I'm not a big egg person. And a lot of times these things can get too eggy.
Oh, okay.
So you do need it to hold together. But if you want less eggs, you can do two or three. But anyway, that's up to you.
Okay.
Half a cup of heavy cream, half a cup of whole milk, a tablespoon of Dijon mustard, and a cup of extra sharp cheddar cheese. Go ahead and shred that up. I would probably use more than one cup.
But yeah, I was going to say, that doesn't sound like enough. that's not enough.
And this is all in cast iron skillet. So this
this is getting even better.
Yeah. So go ahead and preheat your oven to 450 degrees, and you're going to heat a 10-inch cast iron skillet over medium-high heat and pour, you know, one tablespoon of your olive oil in the skillet. Swirl it around the pan. Let that start warming up. And pat your potatoes dry with a paper towel. You don't have to be, you know, super anal about that. But when you put your potatoes, it's the water and the oil that's going to pop.
Yeah, that'll be a situation.
So pat them dry with a paper towel. Toss in with your potatoes another tablespoon of olive oil. Season that with salt and gently stir that. Keep in mind, as those hash browns are thawed, they can fall apart real easy and they can get mushy. So just gently toss all that together. And then again, gently put them in your hot skillet and start cooking those until they are fragrant and slightly toasted.
Oh.
Slightly toasted, because you're going to put this in the oven. Okay.
So,
maybe 5 minutes on your...
Now, wait, have you are you just like pressing them down in the pan and leaving them there to cook to brown on the bottom?
You can stir just gently, kind of toast.
Oh, just get it all stirred a little bit.
Yeah, just stir it up a little bit.
Okay.
Then you are going to press that, not heavy press, but, you know, just evenly put it, you know, around the skillet. let it come up the edges too. And then you are going to take that and put in your oven for about 20 minutes. Take that out and let it start cooling down a little bit and reduce the oven temp down to 350 at that point. So while that's cooling, then you are going to cook your sausage, you know, just crumble it up. You're browning it until it's cooked, that until it's brown. Then add your apple and cook it. Here's the thing. You are just really only going to cook this apple for about 4 minutes. You want it to be tender on the outside, but still firm to the touch.
Okay.
So like, you know, when you make cinnamon apples and they're just, they can get mushy.
Yeah. You don't want it to be. I know. Right. You want it to have a little bit of bite to it still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And then in a medium bowl, you're going to whisk your eggs, your cream, your milk, and your mustard together. Add a little bit of salt to that. Take your sausage apple mixture and spread over the bottom of your crust, and then pour your custard mixture over the sausage. And you are going to bake that casserole until the edges are set for about 20 to 25 minutes. I would wait to put the cheese on until maybe the last 10 minutes of baking. Mm. If you want it to kind of crisp up on there, you could add it right after your custard, just top your custard with it. Or you could mix some in your custard if you want some.
Oh, if you want it more in it. Yeah.
In it. You could do that.
I would probably do that. I'd probably mix some in it and then top it with a little bit.
Top it with a little more. That would be what I would do. Mm-hmm. But sometimes your cheese, if you bake them, if you're baking cheese for 20 to 25 minutes, it can get crusty. And you don't really want it crusty on there.
Oh, you don't? I like crusty though.
Well, you can.
I like a little.
Go ahead and put it on top and bake it.
And just go with God. Don't look at the light. It'll blind you.
Don't look at the light. So there you go.
Apple. That's awesome. That's a unique recipe. I think that's a really good, unique recipe.
Yeah. I thought it was a great September.
I do too. There's something about like you said, I don't do a lot of breakfast, but like Tim loves breakfast. I mean, he doesn't eat as much anymore with it, but you know, he loves him a good eggs and a sausage, and especially like on a Saturday or a Sunday, like he wants to, and that would be a fun, that would also be, go ahead.
I love breakfast food.
Yeah.
I just don't have an appetite in the morning.
No, do it. So this, I was going to say breakfast for dinner. That sounds amazing. Or like a brunch a little later. You know what that could be? That could be on a cool September Saturday, and there's an 11 o'clock football game on.
Yep.
Okay. You know, or maybe the two, but I think like if you got a morning game and you're not quite, you know, you don't want to do all this food, yep. but you just kind of make you up a little apple sausage bake. Mm-hmm. And you have that with some hot cider and coffee and you just kind of have yourself a little football brunch.
Yeah.
Okay. We've solved everyone's problems.
That's right.
Excellent. Okay. Are you ready for my top three?
Top three.
Yum.
Okay. Excuse me. Number one on my top three this week is a new dermaplaning, face dermaplaning kit that I purchased. I was influenced on the Instagram. And this one is the one you may have seen. It's just called Jill Dermaplaning Kit. It's all over Instagram, or maybe just my Instagram. I don't know.
I've not seen it yet.
Well, you will now because I'm telling your phone to Jill Dermaplaning Kit. So now your phone hears it. Y'all think we're joking? Happens all the time.
Yes, all the time.
All the time.
Except okay. you're in my headset and now my phone can't hear that.
Oh, darn it. Okay, well, you're on your own. Okay, so this was just a little kit. Again, you know, the dermaplaning, taking the fine hairs and the dead skin off. And I've had several different types. I've had the cheap, you know, started, of course, with just the cheap razors. I have a kind of electric-y one that I've used. It's okay. But I decided to try this kit because I was ready for something new. So the thing that makes this kit, and again, you can get the pieces separate, but I would get the kit at first. So it comes with a handle razor and two different sizes of blades. So it has a small, which is good for little spots. You know, you can't be using the big one between your brows or you'll have a situation. And it has a bigger one. And then it has a cleaning cloth for those. It has these oil wipes that you're supposed to do on your face before. I can't remember what they're called, glow wipes or something that they have printed out. I'll give you a tip. First of all, on these, they're huge. Like it just came with one in the kit, which is fine. But like I ripped it into, cause you just need to cover your face in this oil, you know, you don't need this whole sheet that they had. So I kind of ripped it and using sections of it. Also, I did order some more, but then cause they worked really well, but you can just use a face oil. Like you don't, you know what I mean? Like, but I would recommend that step. And it's a step I wasn't doing. There's two steps here that I wasn't doing. So you put that nice oil that will help lubricate, protect your skin and all that. Then this kit has, Joni, a spray, a hair identifying spray that you spray all over your face. And let me tell you what, guys, you think you don't have hair on your face?
You got some hair on your face.
You got hair. You got forehead hair you don't know about. I never have done my forehead. I don't, because there's just no hair. I don't, you know, whatever. But you spray this stuff on your face and you look like you've come through the nuclear fallout is what you look like.
Don't look at the light.
Don't look at the light. Because you're covered in this white, but it clings. So your eyelashes have them on, your eyebrow, you know, but it clings to all, and the oil probably helps too. It clings to all the hair on your face so you can really see what you're doing. And then these blades are very nice, but all, you know, so you're scraping all this stuff gently, but the oil is protecting. So, but you're really getting, when I was done, my face was so smooth and glowy. I mean, I noticed a vast difference in terms of just my regular, which I've never been real careful about it or real like whatever, but I thought, let me try something a little different. And it just works really well and you can just see what you're doing. So much better, you know, so I was a big fan. I've already ordered like a replacement spray. I mean, I only do it like once every 2 weeks. I don't, okay. you know, I don't think I need, and you do little touch-ups. We all know you got to do little touch-ups, but the full face thing, I only, you know, maybe a couple times a month, just to keep things, but I'm telling you, it was amazing. I was just smooth as a baby's butt. Say it, Joan. Just go ahead and say it.
No.
Okay. She's giving me a look. All right. So that was a good kit and it's reasonably priced. But like I said, it'll come with that oil wipe, and I got some more just because I don't know why, but you can just use a good just a nice good face oil. Just put a few drops of that and spread that around. I think that would work just as well. Second thing is a nail care item that I've been using for a little while now too. It's by the brand London Town, which I believe I've talked about before. They have really good nail polishes. I just really like them. I like the bottles. I like the brush. I like the colors. I have a ton of them. I like their nail, all their nail stuff. I just really like the whole brand. But they have a new product that's come out in the last few months called their Peptide Serum Concentrate for Nails and Cuticles. And I'm always trying to find nice things for my cuticles and such. And but I really have wanted to do some good nail, like just get my nails in really good shape. They were okay. So this stuff, you can put on a bare nail. You can put it on with your, just over your whatever. I like to do it on a bare nail as much as I can. But it's just a really good peptide concentrate. And I've noticed a difference. And I've been using it for a little while now. I've had it for a while. And I have noticed a difference in my strength of my nails, in my cuticles, everything. I've noticed a difference.
Okay.
So that is wonderful. And then the last thing is just a really simple whatever, but it's, we got some new shelves in our family room on either side of our TV console thing. We didn't have like matching, and we just went to World Market and got these really pretty, thin, open wood, again, kind of mid-century looking, because we have a mid-century console that the TV is on. So these kind of go good with it. And we've got these nice little shelves on either side, and we look like grown-up people.
Look at that.
I know. When you get rid of the mix and match shelf.
It only takes us, you know, 50.
Only takes us 50-something years to, yeah, you guys, it's a real thing. So those are make me happy. Those are from World Market. So I'll just link all those when we get our notes out. But those are my top three. Anything else you need to report to us?
No.
Any nuclear blasts in your area?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
The first thing you need to do is call me on the phone. So, you know, get inside and then call Holly on the phone.
Yes. Yes. Hey.
Hey, don't look. Don't look up.
Don't look up. Get under the desk.
Get under your table and don't look up. Okay, guys. We hope you have a great week, a great weekend, doing whatever you want to with your family. Football is coming. We will probably talk about that next week. As we get closer, but it's coming, you guys. So
high school football has already started.
High school's already started. Preseason pro has started. Like I said, I got to watch the stinking Raiders now, which is a bit of a problem, but we all suffer. We all have crosses to bear. So until next time, goodbye, Pellet.
Hey, Patch.
Howdy, Smurf.
What's up?
Put your camera down so I can see your whole... There we go. Yeah. We want to see you.
Here I am.
Well, maybe we don't. Take it back. You were ready quick. Sorry, I wouldn't...
I didn't have an appointment today.
Oh my gosh, I wasn't... I was watching another trial coverage. I wasn't even ready, so... Oh gosh.
I'm about a... appointmented out.
Are you?
I am.
You've been poked. You've been prodded.
Between all the physical therapy and the...
Oh, true.
Yeah, it's just been constant. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. Get us in, girl.